The content of this podcast is provided for general informational purposes only and is not intended as, nor should it be considered a substitute for, professional medical advice.
We're back. Hello,
hi,
my
Leanne.
Little Karen. Hello.
Here we are.
Here we are, sweaty and pissed, menopause and more.
Yes, indeed.
I'm Leanne Morgan, comedian, wife, menopausal, tormented, overweight, sweaty, don't feel good, low thyroid. You are.
Karen Nickel, nurse practitioner, who clearly isn't doing a very good job with her patient.
Singer. No, I'm opera just dramatic. Singer, yes. No, you're doing a wonderful job, and you saved my life, and I thought I was going to die.
Yeah.
And you have kept, well, I tell everybody all the time, I go, oh my gosh, I cannot put one foot in front of the other, and I thought something was terrible wrong with me, and she saved my life. And then I feel bad because people go, how can I get into her? And I go, psych, you can't. So sorry. Let me diagnose you here at the Publix grocery store in Farragut, Tennessee. Let me try to tell you how much milk thistle to take to flush out your dominant estrogen count or whatever. You know I don't listen. Okay, so we were going to, somebody either messaged us on Facebook or somebody sent out to me at the Publix, I have horrible migraines.
Right.
That are brought on by menopause. I can't remember how she said it because I texted you and said, can we talk about that?
Yeah.
And my little mama, Lucille, must have had, she doesn't now. I mean, she's 75, 76. But she, growing up, when she was still having a period, she would, right before she'd start a period, get, I mean, so sick, could not have lights on. Get in the bed, have to stay in the bed, and then she would eventually vomit, and then she seemed like she'd get over it. And it would be before, I don't know, I need to ask her if it would be, and she'd remember if it would be once a month, or if it was like maybe every 3 months or every 4 months, you know, like some big bad mamma jamma period coming on.
Yeah.
So anyway, I didn't know if that is something that happens to women. Well, if that's something that hormones wreak havoc.
Yes, they do. And not all migraines are triggered by hormonal changes. I mean, obviously, foods can trigger migraines. Weather changes can trigger migraines.
Weather changes?
Yeah, some,
bariatric pressure?
Some people have seen a correlation in their migraine occurrences with change in bariatric pressure, specifically. Some people, like if it's a really bright, sunny day, that will trigger it. But I would say, of course, in my patient population, I see a lot of the people who have hormonal migraines. And so that's part of the issue is that happens with not only perimenopausal and menopausal women, but with premenopausal women who are having their periods. And the migraine is usually occurs right before the onset of menses, right before the onset of flow. Some people will have a migraine even on the first or second day of flow. But typically, we see such a change in our hormone levels, a big drop in progesterone right then, that it will trigger a migraine. So I use progesterone to help address menstrual migraines. I also work on lowering estrogen during certain times of the month to help prevent menstrual migraines, because if there's a hormone that's going to trigger the migraine, it's going to be estrogen. And that's why some people, when they start a birth control pill, they'll start getting migraines. And so what I do is try to work on estrogen dominance and correcting that particular hormonal imbalance by lowering estrogen with either milk thistle caps or DIM, diindolmethylamine capsules. Those are both over the counter. And by adding progesterone or some supplements that promote progesterone secretion, like chasteberry. So those treatment regimens really do help with reducing migraines. And some people will have them also in the middle of the month. And so you can also dose the progesterone in a way that sort of bumps it up a little bit before the middle of the month to help prevent migraines. Then women who are going into menopause, sometimes their migraines will completely go away because the estrogen drops. If estrogen is triggering it, the estrogen dropping will resolve the migraines. But there are some women, when their estrogen drops, they either start getting migraines or their migraines get worse. And so in that case, it's about just replacing estrogen at the right dose. That will really, really help. So those are some of the, I shouldn't say easy ways to treat migraines. But if it's just hormonal, if they're just hormonal triggers, it's a little easier to get control of that. If you have multiple triggers, then you're looking at several different treatment regimens to help with that. There are some supplements that really help with migraines, like magnesium will really help.
Magnesium. Mm-hmm. Okay, let me ask you something about magnesium. Yeah. Are there different kinds of magnesium, like magnesium for sleep, magnesium for leg cramps, magnesium for migraines?
Well, we use magnesium for all of those, but there are different forms of magnesium. I usually recommend the form of magnesium glycinate.
Okay.
Which tends to be better absorbed, more readily absorbed. And so that's something you would purchase at a health food store versus your area pharmacy, your local pharmacy. It's just a form that tends to be
I think
to work
that's
better.
What I bought.
Yeah. So they magnesium helps with all those things you mentioned, but some people just do better with that form of magnesium glycinate.
And how much do you think people should take?
Well, I recommend that people take 400 to 800 milligrams at bedtime. And with the caveat that if they start getting loose stools or diarrhea, they need to back down on the dose.
But I need a loose stool.
Yeah.
Girl. So, yeah. Okay. So magnesium, because I went into Eddie's health shop in Knoxville. That, you love Eddie and Eddie loves you. And you and Eddie need to start a wellness center together because he's so smart too. But yeah. He was saying that so many people are walking around with not enough magnesium, with a magnesium deficiency. So when you have a magnesium or you don't have enough magnesium, that's when that affects sleep, restless leg syndrome. Mm-hmm. You get to feeling like your leg, that horrible feeling. I've had that before.
Yeah.
I have a child that has that. You put her on magnesium for that. And that helps so much. And it helps you sleep.
It does.
Restful sleep.
It does. It helps with the constipation, helps with a lot of things. Most people don't have a deficiency, though. It's just that adding some magnesium will help with those symptoms.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Most of the people who have magnesium deficiency actually are deficient in magnesium are people who are on medications that might cause a drop in magnesium, or they have renal kidney problems that cause a drop in magnesium. So most healthy people don't have a problem. Yeah, don't have a low magnesium, but just adding magnesium will help with those symptoms. So it's a good option. The other things that we use for migraine prevention, include beta blockers, specifically propranolol. We use mostly the brand name is Inderol. And that's something you take every day to prevent the migraine. And we also use topiramate. The brand name is Topamax. That helps prevent migraines. We have neurologists who do Botox injections, mostly in the neck and forehead area, temple area, to help prevent migraines. That's usually done once every about 3 months. We now have new a new class of medication out that is a once monthly injectable that you inject yourself. It's in a little pen device that's easy to do yourself. It's a very easy injection. And these medications are what we call CGRP blockers. And CGRP is a peptide that we see in higher amounts in people who have migraines compared to those people who do not have migraines. And every time you have a migraine, those peptide levels go up. So this medication blocks those peptides and have been extremely effective in preventing migraines. And they do so with virtually no side effects based on the clinical trials. The only side effect they saw on the three different meds that we have were some injection site irritation sometimes. And the three medications we have in that class are called Emgality, E-M-G-A-L-I-T-Y, Emgality. We have Aimovig, which is A-I-M-O-V-I-G, and we have Ajovy, A-J-O-V-Y. It gets more and more challenging to spell these medications. But anyway, so we have three out now, once monthly injectables, and they work extremely well. I've had really good clinical response in the patients I've started those meds for. So that's wonderful. That's really, it can be life-changing for people who have, especially if you're having even just one migraine a week. But, you know, there are a lot of people out there who, even on medications, they're getting two and three migraines a week. I mean, it's debilitating.
No, I was telling you, we have a mutual friend that she has migraines, and it will put her in the bed for two mm-hmm. or 3 days, and something will be coming up, and they'll say, oh, she couldn't come. She was took to the bed. I mean, it's horrible.
Yeah, it really is. It's debilitating. It can be debilitating. So we're all thrilled to have a medication option that can really make difference in people's lives like that. You know, the other thing is, if you note that certain foods tend to trigger mm-hmm. your migraines, which often happens, like caffeine or chocolate or wine are pretty common.
All the good ones. Those are the common triggers?
Those are often triggers for migraines. You know, I think on this show I've talked about ALCAT testing before, where it's mm-hmm. a blood test that looks at food intolerance and food intolerances. And so that can be a useful tool to eliminate foods that are what we call reactive, meaning they initiate an immune system response when you eat them. So if you eliminate those foods, oftentimes that will help eliminate migraines. So that's another thing to consider, is either food intolerance testing or just doing some, you know, food elimination testing. Mm-hmm. If you think there's something that seems to correlate with the onset of your migraine, then you can eliminate that and see how that helps. That can be useful. So it's a complicated problem, but we're getting more and more options. We have more and more options to help treat people. So, and it almost often happens with women. I have some patients, male patients, who have migraines, but it's predominantly a female problem. So,
one time when we were watching the fireworks, Boomsday in Knoxville in September, you know, did you ever go down to Boomsday?
I never did. I just,
it's a lot. I mean, it's sweet, wonderful, and they're having a big 4th of July, you know, thing. But yeah, I'm just not...
Too many people.
Yeah, I don't dig it, that kind of thing. But one of my friends, who's so funny, she said, girl, I went to a tattoo parlor, and she goes, I have such bad migraines. I got them to put this stud in her, that little part on her ear, I think is where... And she said, I think it has helped me.
I've
with migraines.
I've given my patients that option as well. It's called Daith piercing, D-A-I-T-H, Daith piercing. And it's that little cartilage piece that is inside your ear that sort of sticks out. It's mm-hmm. sort of the middle of your, the inside of your ear sticks out. They put a little piercing there. And I've had that help patients tremendously. So that is always, if you're willing to get a piercing, that is something that could help.
Yeah, and hers look cute.
Yeah.
And it, fireworks were doing and people were, you know, eating hot dogs. And she said, look at this thing I got my...
Yeah, I don't know if I would do it at a fair like Bloomsday, but I probably would go to a,
well, I mean, she showed it to me.
A piercing place.
Yeah, I don't think she got it done that night.
Oh,
but,
oh.
Yeah, she had...
I thought there was a day piercing
booth. She had a couple of beers
something.
And went, look at my ear. So anyway, I got to see that and I thought, oh, that's interesting because it like pressure points, I guess.
Yes, it's exactly like that. It's a pressure point thing. And I've had, like I said, I've had many patients who have really benefited from that. Some don't, but it can be always worth a try if you have a reputable place to get the piercing done.
Yeah.
So
it's kind of like when you're about to go on a cruise and you don't want to put that thing on the back of your neck. You know, those little patches they give you and you kind of see double?
Yeah.
They would always do that to me. And so I would wear those pressure point little wrist things.
Bracelets, yeah.
On a cruise.
Yeah.
But I don't get nauseous on a cruise unless I'm going down the Caribbean. Like, that is just up and down and you don't know what's going to happen to you. Alaska, Greece, it's just like...
Steady Eddie.
Steady Eddie. Now, you may be... I mean, there's all kinds of things that could happen to you. But other things, as you're going through some turkey passage, something, and the law has to escort you. But other than that, it's so much... I didn't have to have all that because I get nauseated easy.
Yeah.
Okay, I want to ask you, because I don't know how much time we've got left, but I wanted to ask you, I was in Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And I love a Costco, and I could go and walk around. Do you ever go to Costco?
Oh, yeah.
Love a Costco. And I could just go and look. When I go, I need to make sure that I've got plenty of time. Because there is so much to see at the Costco. And the thought of getting a big thing of toilet paper is so satisfying to me. But I love looking at the tahini and the things that I don't normally... And then you go down and there's the medicine. And I was looking at the magnesium and I was thinking, what would Karen get? Is that a funky, different kind of magnesium? Is that the magnesium I need? But I think I didn't get mine at Costco, but I got it somewhere else. But mine is the glycinate. Okay, there was this big thing, and I keep seeing that come up on my Facebook, and because I must be searching for products that have to do with menopause, deodorants, pee-proof panties, all that. Okay, it is called Ambrin.
Ambrin.
And I have had more people talk about that lately.
It's just a supplement. I think I've heard...
It's a supplement for menopause, mm-hmm. and it's supposed to... It's not hormones.
Right.
And there's ones that have got weight loss. There's ones that are new improved Ambrin. But anyway, Costco had this huge thing. And I've had people say to me lately, I've been taking that and it takes about a month to start working.
But it's helped.
But it's helped.
Yeah, I'll have to look at all the ingredients in that. I suspect there are things like black cohosh. Maybe
yes,
in
I
it.
Think so.
Maybe even curcumin.
Even what?
Maybe even curcumin.
Maybe.
I'll research those ingredients so we can speak to that maybe on the next episode.
Okay, my darling. Because I've just had a lot of people say, and I've seen a lot of ads for it, and it was in the... So it's Ambrin, A-M-B-E-R-E-N. And there's different kinds. Like there's one for weight loss, with weight loss. There's... And I don't
asleep,
know if that
there
one,
might be a sleep one. There might be.
Oh, if there's a sleep one. I've been trying all the natural sleep things. The CBD.
Yeah.
One of my friends who is so funny, he did a big video and put it on Instagram. He goes, I'm just sick of hearing about CBD. CBD in hamburgers. CBD in my lotion. CBD. But it is out there crazy.
It is. Yeah, once they legalized or changed the laws for hemp growing in 2018, it's just exploded.
I know. And, you know, when my mom was sick and I was going back and forth, and I'm going again tomorrow, but going back and forth to Adams, Tennessee, where mm-hmm. I was raised. It's a town of 500 people, farming community. Boy, I went to high school with, he said, you know, I looked into that hemp because Tennessee and Kentucky mm-hmm. have got the best conditions to grow that. Mm-hmm. But he said it is so labor intensive.
Mm.
And they don't know how to regulate it yet, or they're being so freaky about it. He said, you could grow this, and then they go, oh my gosh, that's got so much THC in it or whatever, and just wipe out that whole crop that you spent that whole time on.
Right. Well, I think since it's such a new crop that it's hard to know what types of plant to grow or under what conditions for the potency, even more than the THC. Because hemp, all hemp plants should have very, very little THC. Usually it's supposed to be less than 0.03%, something like that. And so the potency may be a factor. And trying to figure that out as you're starting to farm a crop like that.
Yeah.
Because there's so much to learn about it.
Yeah, and they can just come in and go, that's not that, right or whatever, and just not, take it.
The quality's not right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you've spent all that time.
Yeah.
Okay, so are you finding that they're telling people the higher dosage of CBD is better than, like, just like 10 milligrams, all that?
Yeah, I would say, I'm not a CBD oil expert, but I, you know, the lowest dose, the lowest concentration could be useful in just feeling better generally, you know, just general well-being.
Anti-inflammatory.
Maybe a little, you know, some sleep benefit, some mood benefit. If you're trying to address joint pain, you know, something more specific, a more specific and chronic problem, you're probably not going to get benefit until you've taken them like the middle concentration or the highest concentration. It has to be a high concentration to use for seizure disorder, and I'm not saying for people to run out and get CBD oil over the counter for seizure disorder, but there is a CBD oil that has been FDA approved for a seizure disorder, a very specific seizure disorder where you have 100 seizures a day. I mean, it's a severe problem. But it's a high potency pharmaceutical grade medication. So
as we go further, medical professionals, y'all will all figure out what, how to use that, what to, you know, the dosage, the frequency, who needs it, who doesn't, all right. that. Because right now it's just like
everybody needs
a pioneer,
it.
Yeah, right. And we're all the gold rush. Yeah. And so, because you see it everywhere.
Yeah, you do. Well, and I certainly would say if you decide to try CBD oil for, say, joint pain, and you're not seeing any benefit after 60 or 90 days, that probably is not going to give you benefit for that particular problem.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I wouldn't wait. I wouldn't take it for a year and a half thinking, well, any day now, it's gonna help.
Yeah.
So.
But like the creams and, you know, it's kind of like Bengay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you can rub it on topically and yeah. that might help some people.
Yeah. And if it helps, it's a great thing to use if you find benefit.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a plant.
It's a plant.
And it's a natural plant.
It is.
That is just hemp. Nobody's going to get high and take their top off.
No. No, it has medicinal properties, but it does not. It has very, very almost immeasurable levels of THC. I think there have been some studies to show that if you, or as a study to show that if you use it daily for a long time, you could have a buildup of THC levels in your body. That's possible. But typically it's a really tiny, tiny amount. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk more maybe in the future about that.
Yeah, and I'm going to check on Ambrin, and we'll, the next episode, we'll sort of review that and see what that's about and see if that might be a good option for some people.
Okay, my darling.
All right.
Okay. It's been I guess fun. That sums all that up.
Yeah, wrap that
good
up.
Good luck to people with their migraines.
I know. But you need, if you have migraines that are not well controlled, you need to talk to your primary care provider or your neurologist, because we do have these new medications that can be very, very helpful.
Good. So, nobody needs to suffer through that. Okay. Well, okay. On to the next. And we will see you another time.
We will.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you. Bye.